Well, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day you've made for us, Lord. And I praise you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for all of us, Lord. Lord, put great and bold faith in all of us. Put that bold faith in our hearts, Lord. I know that you've told us that this time ahead, we're going to need it. And you said to ask for it, and you would give it. If we ask in your name, that you would give it to us. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you give us all bold faith to speak the word of God beyond any kind of circumstances that's going on around us, Lord, to speak what your word says, speaking those things that are not as though they were. Father, I praise you for teaching us all this type of faith, that we don't allow anything around us to get us down, because we know you're still on the throne. You're not off the throne, but you're on the throne. And you've orchestrated everything around us to happen for a reason, and that's to bring great patience and to bring great faith in our life, because we see these things happening and you helping us to overcome these situations and these circumstances in our life, Lord. I just praise you for that, Lord. I love you, and I know the people here love you, and we thank you that tonight's going to be anointed by you, because you love us all, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got any prayer requests?
Michael?
Yes, Judy?
Yes, I'd like to pray for my granddaughter. I just talked to her. She's about 13. She's got this crooping cough, and this is her second whole week. She's been having fevers and coughing and stuff. And so I just want to pray for her. Even though I've prayed for her before, I still want to, you know, pray again, because I just want this healing to get done so that she knows that it's God. Because I told her God's going to heal her, to ask God to just heal her and make her whole. So, dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to take Emily and put her in your arms and heal her coughing, heal her temperature. All that has to go in the name of Jesus. And she is completely healed of all this stuff that's going around, this crud stuff. And I thank you, Lord, for protecting her and keeping her in your will, in Jesus' name. And Lord, Amen. Let her pray to you also. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that Emily is healed. And we don't have to worry about it no more, because you're going to fulfill that covenant with us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing Judy, too. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I want to pray for my mother real quick. My dad has been divorced for probably close to 50 years now. It's been a while. But she still has unforgiveness. She's bitter about the whole thing. She just needs to have the Lord help her overcome this. She's getting too old to have this on her heart. You know, getting too many years in this, and it's definitely taking its toll. Satan's been able to get some inroads there, and I want to pray against this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together in faith, and we ask you humbly that you would help change my mother's heart and help her to forgive and help her to understand that life is short. It's not about maybe what we experience with others. It's not about trying to, you know, get to the top of the heap. It's about coming to the image of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is you want to put us through and get us there, that's why we're here. We're here to learn our lessons so we can move forward and have that fruit in our life. So, Father, I ask that you give her the understanding of this, and give her understanding that not all things turn out great in life for a reason, and it's maybe to develop us and not necessarily to hurt us, to make us understand that who has to die at that cross, and it's that old man, that old woman. So, Father, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for your promises in the Word. And I ask that you work mightily in all of us, and not only our mother, but all of us, and indeed those times to come close to you, understand what salvation is for, and be willing to work and agree with your word. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, Christ your Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gayno.
I would like to pray for Tracy again. She's going through having another kind of hard week, and so I would just like to lift her up in prayer.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love for Tracy, and I thank you that she knows you. I just pray that her focus would be on you, that she wouldn't look so much at herself and see her weaknesses, that she would see your ability and your ability to help her, your wanting to help her. Thank you for your strength. For your strength is made perfect in her weakness. I just pray that she would always feel your presence, because your word says you're always with us. You won't leave us or forsake us. And I pray that she would feel that. That thought would just be alive in her heart. That she would take one day at a time, not look back, not look ahead, but just for today, because your grace is new every morning. And that's what you want us to do, to take one day at a time. And I just thank you for the gift of salvation that you've given her and the work that you have done in her. And that she would know that there is fruit coming from her and not feel that there isn't anything she can do, because there's plenty. And I just pray, Father, that she would be able to, that you would give her the grace to let go of hurts and disappointments and just things that have hurt her heart, that she would give them to you and let them go. I thank you, Father, for the renewed spirit that you have given her, and that she would truly see that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Christ lives in her. And in him there is no lack. And I thank you, Father, for being with her and helping her at work and wherever she is, that you comfort her, that she feels your strength, and that her spirit is renewed. And I just thank you, Father, for everything that you do for her. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's also a few verses I would like to share. It's from Lamentations. I would like to read verse 22 through 26, because it's God's mercy. And I just think, you know, for anyone who is going through a hard time, these are the things we need to keep our mind on and not get wrapped up in the trial we're in. Starting with verse 22, it is of the Lord's loving kindnesses that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And that was the verses that I wanted to share.
What was that reference again?
Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. I just thought there's just so much comfort in them, because you know, he tells us that It's new every day. And so if we just keep that in mind and not think we have to, you know, bunch all our days up and carry it all along because the baggage gets really too heavy for us and we weren't meant to carry it because he told us to give it to him. And that's just what I wanted to share.
Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I like that one too. Okay, thank you. Blessings to you all.
Okay. All right, anybody else? While we're going through this, y'all just be praying in the spirit for Tracy. I know that some of the circumstances up there, and she's got a hard time. But we just need to lift her up. And if you think about it during the week, you know, lift her up in prayer. All right, anybody else? Terry, you ready to pray? Or you want us to pray for you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, is there something specific?
I don't know if it's food poisoning or what. I've just been in bed for a while and not feeling well.
Okay, well, I guess I misunderstood you. You've been what?
Feeling just nauseous and just not good.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Terry to you. And we thank you, Lord, that she's not under the curse. She's not under the curse, and she don't receive it. She doesn't receive this sickness that's trying to come on her. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of infirmity off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I command the symptoms of whatever it is to leave her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she can go eat a bowl of chili right now if she wanted to. And, Father, we just thank you that she is healed. In Jesus' name. Headache, go in the name of Jesus. Stomachache, go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that your breath of healing power is rushing through her body right now in Jesus' name and filtering out all that old mess in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Terry is healed and delivered in Jesus' name. You believe that, Terry?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? What about a praise report or a testimony? Y'all realize today is September the 1st? My goodness. Where has this year gone? Praise report or a testimony? Well, I'd like to pray a little bit about some things. Lord, I want to see revival. I desire to see revival, Lord. We need this encouragement, Father, of revival. And Lord, I'm just believing that you're going to bring it because you said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, our land needs to be healed. And Lord, I thank you that you're placing it in our hearts, every one of us, all of us who listens to and believes the word of God are going to be praying and believe in you, Lord, for this covenant that you're going to heal our land, that revival is going to break out because, Lord, we need this encouragement. We need it in the best kind of way. Father, bring those that are sitting on the fence, off the fence, onto the right side, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that the healing power, the spirit of repentance would go forth and people would cry out unto you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I hope, and my prayer is, Lord, that it start here with me and us here in this fellowship and with the local fellowship and the outreach, Lord, and it would just spread all over the world. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've been reading I've read a lot in the past about past revivals, and one of the most interesting ones that I've come across is the Hebrides revival of 1949. And the Hebrides is an island off the coast of Scotland. It's a group of islands, actually. And revival swept through those islands in answer to the prayers of God's people. And instrumental in the revival was the evangelist Duncan Campbell. And he came to the Isle of Lewis to conduct a two-week evangelistic campaign and ended up staying 2 years. Now, I want to give you some accounts here and testimonies of what happened before the revival. The power of intercessory prayer, okay? I'm going to ask that y'all mute your phones. I'm hearing some background noise here. Okay, I'm going to mute you, Terry. If anybody wants to talk, go star, star. That's all you need to do. And I'll mute Kurt. Okay. The intercessors of the Hebrides Revival in a small cottage by the roadside in the village of Barvis lived two elderly women, Peggy and Christine Smith. They were 84 and 82 years old. Peggy was blind, and her sister almost bent double with arthritis, and they were unable to attend public worship. And what happened is their humble cottage became a sanctuary where they met with God. And to them came the promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. How many of you are dry ground? How many of you want that God to pour that water on you? Well, they pleaded this day and night in prayer. And one night, Peggy had a revelation that revival was coming and the church of her fathers would be crowded again with young people. And she sent for the minister, the Reverend James Murray McKay, and told him what God had shown her, asking him to call his elders and deacons together for special times of waiting upon God. And in the same district, a group of men praying in a barn experienced a foretaste of coming blessings. One night, as they waited upon God, a young deacon rose and read part of the 24th Psalm. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And turning to the others, he said, Brethren, it seems to me just so much humbug to be waiting and praying as we are, if we ourselves are not rightly related to God. And then lifting his hands toward heaven, he cried, O God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? He got no further, but fell prostrate to the floor. An awareness of God filled the barn, and a stream of supernatural power was let loose in their lives. They had moved into a new sphere of God realization, believing implicitly in the promise of revival. But before leaving Peggy and her sister, another story must be told, which further illustrates the holy intimacy of this woman with her Lord. When the movement was at its height, Peggy sent for Duncan, asking him to go to a small isolated village to hold a meeting. The people of this village did not favor the revival. It had already made clear their policy of non-involvement. And Duncan explained the situation to Peggy and told her that he questioned the wisdom of her request. Besides, he added, I have no leadings to go to that place. Listen to what she told him. She turned, now this is the blind lady, she turned in the direction of his voice. Her sightless eyes seemed to penetrate his soul. Mr. Campbell, if you were living as near to God as you ought to be, he would reveal his secrets to you also. And Duncan felt like a subordinate being reprimanded for defying his general. He humbly accepted the rebuke as from the Lord and asked if he and Mr. McKay could spend the morning in prayer with them. She agreed, and later, as they knelt together in the cottage, Peggy prayed, Lord, you remember what you told me this morning, that in this village you are going to save 7 men who will become pillars in the church of my fathers. Lord, I have given your message to Mr. Campbell, and it seems he is not prepared to receive it. O Lord, give him wisdom, because he badly needs it. All right, Peggy, I'll go to the village, said Duncan when they had finished praying. She replied, you'd better. She told him, you'd better, and God will give you a congregation. Arriving in the village at 7 o'clock, they found a large bungalow crowded to capacity with many assembled outside. Duncan gave out his text, and the text was this: the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And when he had finished preaching, a minister beckoned him to the end of the house to speak again to a number of people who were mourning over their sins, and among them was Peggy's 7 men. That's some powerful praying there now. That's some powerful praying. Okay. Now, this is another story here about John, and he challenged God in prayer. Now, you got to remember, this is before the revival had really broke out across the island. Okay, let's go on. Opposition to the revival was being raised in other parts of the island. An evening was given to waiting upon God in the home of an elder. Around midnight, Duncan turned to the local blacksmith. John, I feel the time has come for you to pray. And with his cap in his hand, John rose to pray. And in the middle of the prayer, of his prayer, he paused. He raised his right hand to heaven and said, O God, you made a promise to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And Lord, it's not happening. He paused, then he continued. Lord, I don't know how the others here stand in your presence. I don't know how the ministers stand, but Lord, if I know anything about my own heart, I stand before thee as an empty vessel, thirsting for thee and for a manifestation of thy power. He halted again. And after a moment of tense silence, cried, O God, your honor is at stake, and I now challenge you to fulfill your covenant engagement and do what you have promised to do. And many who were present witnessed that at that moment, the house shook, dishes rattled in the sideboard as wave after wave of divine power swept through the building. A minister standing beside Duncan turned and said, "Mr. Campbell, an earth tremor?" But Duncan's mind, however, was in the fourth chapter of Acts, where the early Christians were gathered in prayer and was read. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to see that? How many of you want to see that shaken? The power of God come through there, sweep through your lives and shake you and the people around you that you've been praying for all these many years. I do. I want that in a real way. Okay, I want to tell you about the Donald, the boy who prayed. Now, among those converted the following night was a 15-year-old boy who became an outstanding helper in the revival. This lad became a frontline prayer warrior. Now remember, he's only 15 years old. Duncan called at his home one day and found him on his knees in the barn with the Bible open before him. Now here's a kid, 15 years old, in the barn, on his knees, with the Bible open before him. When Campbell interrupted him, he quietly said, "Excuse me a little, Mr. Campbell. I'm having an audience with the King." Oh my. What closeness to God, huh? What closeness to God this child had. Some of the most vivid outpourings of the Spirit during the revival came when he was asked to pray. In the police station in Barvis, he stood up one night, simply clasped his hands together, and uttered one word, "Father." Everyone was melted to tears as the presence of God invaded the house. In Callanish, that's a town, he prayed until the power of God laid hold on those who were dead in sins, transforming them into living stones in the church of Jesus Christ. But the most outstanding example of God's anointing upon him was in Bernera, a small island off the coast of Lewis. Duncan was assisting at a communion service. The atmosphere was heavy. The preaching was difficult. So he sent to Barvis for some of the men to come and assist in prayer. They prayed, but the spiritual bondage persisted, so much so that halfway through his address, Duncan stopped preaching. And just then, he noticed this boy, visibly moved under deep burden for souls. Duncan thought, "That boy is in touch with God and living nearer to the Savior than I am." So leaning over the pulpit, he said, "Donald, will you lead us in prayer?" The lad rose to his feet and in his prayer made reference to the fourth chapter of Revelation, which he had been reading that morning. "Oh God, I seem to be gazing through the open door. I see the Lamb in the midst of the throne with the keys of death and of hell at his girdle." And he began to sob. Then lifting his eyes toward heaven, cried, "Oh God, there is power there. Let it loose." And with the force of a hurricane, the Spirit of God swept into the building and the floodgates of heaven opened. The church resembled a battlefield. And on one side, many were prostrated over the seats, weeping and sighing. on the other side. Some were affected by throwing their arms in the air in a rigid posture. God had come. How many of you long for that type of relationship with God? I do. It takes sacrifice. It takes time. How many of you knows that this Duncan Campbell, preacher, minister, well known during that period of time, was a humble man? He was a humble guy. He took correction from these old ladies. And he knew that Duncan, this John kid, this 15-year-old kid, was closer to God than him, and he knew enough to let that boy pray. That's why God put him in that position, because he was a humble and meek guy. And that's the way it's going to be in the days ahead, y'all. It's going to be meek and humble people. We are the ministers. Not going to be anybody that you know. Amen. Okay, let's talk about she saw a vision. God communicated to Peter his purpose to bless the household of Cornelius by means of a vision in a trance when his servant was praying. He used similar methods in Lewis. A young woman in particular repeatedly went into trances in which she received messages concerning those in need, which were passed on to Duncan. One night, he was staying in Stornoway at the town when this girl saw in a vision a woman in agony of soul 20 miles away. Duncan was informed that he ought to go and see her. And without any thought for his own rest or safety, he motorcycled to the village and found it exactly as he had been told. The word he spoke brought deliverance and introduced the troubled lady to the Savior. Not one message given by this girl through her trance visions proved false. And this was an aspect of the work which Duncan did not attempt to encourage or explain. But he recognized it, that it was from God, and refused to interfere with it, warning those who would associate it with satanic activity that they were coming perilously close to committing the unpardonable sin. And that's right. The Lord can do anything, can't he? He can talk to girls, little girls, in visions and trances. That's the way Mariah Woodworth Eder had a lot of her revelations was through trances and visions. Praise God. Those types of things are going to be common in the days ahead. The praying butcher. Duncan never left the island. This is Duncan Campbell, the preacher. Never left the island without visiting the praying men who had meant so much to him in the revival, and with whom he had such affinity of spirit. He marveled at their discernment and worldwide vision in this far northwestern island. Calling to see one of them, he arrived at the house to hear him in the barn praying for Greece. That's the country Greece. He could not understand what interest a butcher in Lewis could have in Greece. How did you come to be praying for Greece today? He asked him later. Do you know where Greece is? No, Mr. Campbell, but God knows. And he told me this morning to pray for Greece. 2 years later, Duncan was introduced to a man in Dublin who told him the following story. He had gone to Greece on a business trip and was asked to speak to an assembly of Christians. The Spirit of God worked so powerfully that he continued preaching for a few weeks and phoned his brother in Ireland with instructions to look after the business until he returned. Duncan compared dates and discovered that the movement in Greece began on the same day that the butcher was praying in Braavis. That's the name of a town. The price for heaven-sent revival has never changed. Before the floods of Holy Ghost conviction could sweep across the Isles of the Hebrides, strong men were broken before God, travailing in agony of prayer through the long hours of the night for months. To do this, in spite of the demands of home and work, these men had to make time for wedding before God. This is perhaps the greatest problem besetting us today. We have all the modern luxuries of life to make work easier, and yet we cannot make time to pray. What a tragic paradox. Dr. Wilbur Smith very aptly stated the matter when he said, "I never get time to pray. I've always got to make it." And that's so true. You have to make time to pray. You know, we've been stressing praying here the last few weeks, and I'm not going to stop because it's essential as a Christian to do that praying and to intercede for your brothers and sisters and the things around us, even in the world. You know, we've been praying for the situation here with the political scene. We're praying that God would expose all the corrupt and the corruption that's going on in our federal government. And y'all can see it happening. God's doing it. He's exposing it. And, well, I'm going to stop there for a while and let y'all comment. What do y'all think about this? These people that helped bring about this Hebrides revival. And, boy, there's a lot more to it. And I'm probably going to share it next week, some of it anyway. It's just a small portion of what happened in that Hebridean revival of 1949. How many of you want a revival like they had? How many of you want one that's a whole lot more involved than that one? That was an awesome one.
Amen.
Yeah, it was an awesome time. It happened from 1949 to 1952. Well, actually, 52 was what they officially say, but they went back years later, and most of the people were still on fire for God, you know. You know what a revival is? When men in the streets are afraid to open their mouth and utter godless words, lest the judgment of God should fall. When sinners, overawed by the presence of God, tremble in the street and cry for mercy. When, without special meetings and sensational advertising, the Holy Ghost sweeps across cities and towns in supernatural powers and holds men in the grip of terrifying conviction. When every shop, Andrew, is there a way for you to mute your phone, or do I need to mute you?
I think I am muted.
No, I keep hearing some clicking sound coming from you, I think. Try it again. It'll probably work now. Let's see, where was it? Okay. When men in the streets are afraid to open their mouths and utter godless words, lest the judgment of God should fall. When sinners, overawed by the presence of God, tremble in the street and cry for mercy. When without special meetings and sensational advertising, the Holy Ghost sweeps across cities and towns in supernatural power and holds men in the grip of terrifying conviction. When every shop becomes a pulpit, every heart an altar, every home a sanctuary, and people walk softly before God, that's revival. Praise God, it sure is. My. You know, y'all remember we talked about the Russian revival, when the Russians Christians were, God told him to leave and go, that he was going to carry him to a place of safety, and he actually took him over into China. and then from China down to Australia, and then from there to Canada. And what I remember most about that revival, similar to this one here, very similar, was that when they went to their prayer meetings, and these were all at night, always at night it seemed like, that they went with fear and trembling, lest they upset the Holy Spirit and God. Because God would lay open their sins before everybody else there if they hadn't repented. So they always walked to their prayer repenting before they got there, because they were so afraid, you know, of God, any sin that they might have had that day happened that day. And that's where God wants us. I was reading that earlier in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, and I'm going to take it to heart. This is a covenant, y'all. This is a covenant. Listen to this. I read it earlier. I'm going to read it again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what heal their land is? That means whatever curse may be on you is going to be healed, delivered, set free. Not only that, revival will start in your household and go throughout your family. It'll go from your family to your friends and from your friends throughout the world. That's what it means. That's what God says. Humble yourselves. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves believers, and we humble ourselves and we pray, and we seek God's face, and we turn from our wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. From what I can gather in the Hebrides revival, the men were praying, and the women and the people were praying for about 5 months before it actually broke. It's not something that's going to happen overnight unless God, you know, like I said, God could do anything. It can happen overnight. I'm not saying it can't. But he wants us to seek him. We need to cleanse our mind from all the world, from the things, the wheel of our imagination. We need to stop that and get in touch with God. When you get in touch with God, he's going to get in touch with you, glory to God. And we'll have revival just like these people here did, where people from all over the country, all over that country, they're all over those islands. Not every city was affected. Most of them were, but some of them God left for some reason. But most of them were affected. You know why? Because they were praying people. They were sick and tired of dead religion. A few of them were. Well, most of them were. They were sick and tired of dead religion in their churches. And they'd get together in barns. They'd get together in houses. Now, these men were praying 3 nights a week, all night long. And it was cold out there. It's cold up there in the Hebrides. It's cold up there all the time. In the heart of summer, it's cold up there. But they were praying because they loved the Lord. And they wanted to see. They loved the souls of the people that were sinning. And they wanted to see revival come. So much so that they sacrificed their time. They sacrificed being warm and comfortable. They sacrificed all of that to touch God, to bring revival. And God honored it by saving most of the whole towns that got saved, you know. Dr. Campbell Morgan after witnessing the scenes of revival in Wales. He's talking about the Hebrides. Returned to Westminster Chapel in London and declared this. He said, "Here is revival that comes from heaven. There is no preaching, no order, no hymn books, no choirs, no organs, no collections, and finally, no advertising." Now think of that for a moment. There were no organs, but they were silent. There were ministers, but there was no preaching. They, the preachers, were among the people praising God. Yet the West Revival is a revival of preaching, for everybody is preaching. No order, and yet it moves from day to day, county to county, with matchless precision, with the order of an attacking force. No song books, but ah me, I nearly wept over the singing. When the Welsh sing, they abandon themselves to the singing. No choir, did I say? It was all choir. Wales is ablaze for God. Already 50,000 converts have been recorded, and the Great Awakening shows no signs of waning. It is sweeping over hundreds of villages and cities, emptying saloons, theaters, dance halls, and filling the churches night after night with praying multitudes. You can go where you will, into the bank, the store, the train. Everywhere, men are talking about God. Oh, praise be to God. How many of you want that? Y'all know God can do it again. I believe God's waiting on us. And I believe there's people out there that's already praying for it. I know we're praying for it here. Let's get in touch with God and get this revival going. Ooh, my. I tell you what, every time I read about these revivals and God's power in these revivals, I get pumped up. I don't know about y'all, but I get pumped up. Anybody got anything they'd like to share about revival?
Hey, Michael, may I share the verses I got this morning?
Okay, yeah, that'd be fine.
Well, they go along with what you were saying.
Sure, go
Revelation. Okay, I got Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that ye have no fellowship with her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. For her sins have reached even into heaven, and God hath remembered her in the..." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. It goes right along with what we've been talking about here. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Now, somebody's got to be fired up out there after all what I just got through talking about here. Is nobody fired up over there? Man, I get fired up listening to all these people getting blessed. I want some of it. I want every bit of it. I want all God can give me. And it takes sacrifice, doesn't it?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I hadn't even talked about the healings and the things that goes on during that revival, the healings, the deliverances, and all of that. One thing I will tell you is that one time a heavenly choir started singing, and the people heard it. All the people heard it in this church or in this fellowship, and they heard it, and they all sang along with the angels. How many of you would like to do that? I would. I was listening to Henry Groover about his 6 hours in heaven. And he was talking about this. He had met these people at that little small church that was practicing the choir singing in a cappella, which means no instruments. And they were recording it on a little cassette recorder for whatever reason, for, I guess, to, you know, check to see how they were doing. And when they got through, the preacher or the choir director or whoever it was turned it on for them to listen to it after they got through. And they heard all these instruments. They heard French horns. They heard harps. They heard trumpets. They heard all kinds of instruments. And they heard a heavenly choir singing. They heard a tenor singing, you know. And he said, Groover said he heard that tenor on that tape. And he said, I wonder what he's singing, you know. I wonder what it is he's singing. Well, the song that I heard was that hallelujah song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that song there. But then a tenor shot out from among the rest of them. You could barely hear it in there from all the other angels singing. But he couldn't make out the words. And he prayed before he went. He had a pastor's meeting or something. He prayed and said, Lord, allow me to hear this tenor and see what he's saying. And I wish I had it with me, but I don't. What the angel said. And he told him, he showed him exactly what the angel said. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And then he heard this lady interceding in prayer over and above the angels. So God was showing them that this is what happens up in heaven. You know, they hear these prayers come up. And it was a lady interceding for the people around her. It was awesome. It was awesome. Anybody had any kind of a experience like these that I've talked about here tonight, where you've gotten into the presence of God and just been awesome?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me? Yes, I can. Go ahead, Terry.
I was in a group that was just, we were singing, and we were just singing praises to the Lord, and I heard a really high harmony that just sounded so beautiful. And I didn't know anybody there that could do that, and I asked who did it, and nobody confessed to it. Nobody was singing a high harmony. And I guess I was the only one that heard it, but I just assumed it was probably an angel.
Yeah, probably was. Praise God. Amen. One time, I was in a small church. I mean, a very small church. I'm talking 20 people, maybe 30, 25. I don't know. But the pastor was a musician, and he loved to worship God. And we were worshiping one Sunday evening. And we were not only worshiping, he was playing the piano, and we were all, not piano, but the keyboard. And we were all praying, getting up and walking around and praying. You know how we used to do that quite often in that little church, get around and praying and interceding for people. And this, not singing, but this wonderful fragrance, came into the church. And it smelled similar, but not quite, to honeysuckle. But it wasn't honeysuckle, but it just permeated that whole church, a whole small church that we were in. And it was awesome. I smelled that one other time. Me and a friend of mine were up on a top of a mountain. We had brought our shofars. I had a little ram's horn, and he had his long, big, big shofar. And we were up on top of that mountain, and we were going to blow our shofars across the valley in front of us. And there was a town, Clarksville, Arkansas, was down there. And we were going to blow our shofars down there and pray for the town. And this fragrance came up over the top of the cliff there. It was a big, tall cliff there that we were on. And this fragrance came over. He said, "What is that?" I said, I've smelled that before. That's the Holy Spirit." And it was too. And you know, from that day on, if you've ever smelled inside of a ram's horn, it smells like a goat. It smells pretty rough. But from that day forward, it would smell like a goat until I played it or when I blew it. And when I blew it, that fragrance would come out. That's odd and strange, I know, but that's exactly what would happen. Now, I haven't blown that thing in quite some time. I've got it here. I should take it out and see if I'm just going to believe that God still anointed that ram's horn to do that. And maybe I'll pull it out this Saturday. But that's the only kind of, you know, that kind of stuff that I've seen like that. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael. Was one time at a prophecy club meeting. I don't even remember for sure where it was. And God's glory came down, and people heard angels singing, and we heard a shofar, how you pronounce it. And they went outside and looked, and there was nobody around. And it was just an awesome thing. Everybody was crying and praying, and it was really something. I don't know if anybody that's listening was there. I know there's some people had come by way of the prophecy club.
Boy, that's awesome. Was there a lot of repentance and crying and that kind of thing going on, Marlon?
Yeah, people awesome. On their knees, laying on the floor. It was awesome. Really an awesome thing.
Sounds like a mini revival to me. Amen. The supernatural ability of God to bring sinners to the knees is awesome. That's what happened in these every revival that I've ever read about. Every one of them were started by prayer. Every one of them, when revival broke out, resulted in the hardest-hearted sinner coming to his knees and begging God's forgiveness. That's what I've read in these revivals. You can think of the hardest-hearted sinner that hates God or says he does. But when revival starts, God melts their heart and puts the fear in them of hell. And they repent. Glory to God. You know, if God saved me, he can save anybody. I know y'all have heard that, but it's true. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you are hungry for God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Me too. That's two. Two of you are anyway. Praise God.
I am too.
Okay.
I was caught, but yeah, amen.
Charlie, I know you've had experienced some things like this. Would you like to share some of them?
Well, I can. I know I used to go to a church, and we had a piano and an organ. We had guitars and a bass, you know, like most churches do. And so they wanted me to drum. So I'd been playing drums at this church, I guess, for probably 3-4 months, something like that. And so we went in one Sunday morning, and while we were there, they always sung at least 4 songs, you know, and they get right on in with the offering and the preaching and all that. So it was just a routine. It's really what it was. And so we got started on these songs, and they was just so slow and drug out, you know. It's like it was it was a drudge for them to really sing. You know, they just wasn't into it. And we'd been doing this week after week after week. And so every once in a while I'd say, Lord, anoint us or do something. Help us to really get into the spirit of worship and praise this morning, Lord. And I'd asked the Lord that probably two or three, four different times. Well, as time went by, probably three, 4 weeks after that, well, we went in on a Sunday morning, and while we were there, we started the songs to going, you know. And so they said, we're going to do a new song this morning. And so they did. They did a new song. But they slowed it down real slow. And I love slow songs. Don't get me wrong. I love slow songs. But they took this song that had a lot of praise and worship in it and slowed it way, way down. And so here we go again, you know. We got this new song, and we're dragging it out a little bit. And I was familiar with the song, so I knew how it went. And I thought, wow, Lord, you know, this song should have been three times this speed. There's a lot of joy in this. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm keeping time to the music. And so I'd say we got done with the first verse of this song. And it's hard to explain it, but I was sitting back there. We just finished the first verse. We're turning the song around to start on verse 2. And it was just like a snap of the finger. And I heard it sound like an orchestra come in behind me. And there was every instrument that you could ever think of. Beautiful. And they were doing this song that we were doing for the first time this morning. But it was so fast, and it's just like some has already said, it was like angels singing, and they were in perfect key, you know, and the music was just rolling on, and you could hear it sound like thousands and thousands of singers, and they were clapping their hands, and while they were singing, they was giving praise and honor to God, you know, and like I say, all this came in as a snap. It's like snapping your finger. And I said, oh, my God. I said, I've got to hurry on this because I'm way behind on my time. So I picked up my time. I mean, we were flying on this song. And the angels, they were praising God. I mean, this thing was rolling. And I could feel the Spirit of God coming in on us, you know. And it was just like a good, cool breeze. And so here we are. We're going on this song just to get in it. And so after we finished the song, why, when they got to the last little chorus of the song, why, then everything on the spiritual side, I mean, they was praising Lord and uplifting God, you know, and all of that at the end of the song. And when they got to the end, well, the heavenly band was coming to a stop, with praise and worship coming out of their mouth, all right? And now we are coasting to the end of this song, and I had done hit my cymbals and everything, and we were done. And they were still coasting to get to the end. And then I came back to myself, and I thought, oh, my goodness, they don't know what's going on here this morning, you know? And, I mean, God was so rich. I mean, he was right there with us that morning, you know. And so everybody was looking at me, you know. And this one guy, he turned around and looked at me like, I could just pinch your head off, you know. And I thought, what is this, you know. I mean, what's gone wrong here, you know. And so they said, well, we're not going to sing no more. That's our last song. So as we was dismissing and going down the steps, you know, well, this lady came over. She was playing the organ. And she said, what in the devil was you doing? And I said, sister, I was just drumming like I always do. No, you wasn't. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, we sort of pepped it up there a little bit. But I said, that's great. That's all right. And I said, it was beautiful worship and praise this morning and everything. And she said, it's the same as we've done that song before. She said, you just got showing out. That's what you did. You just went to showing out. And you was just rushing that song. You was wanting to get through it and get done with it. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I apologize if I've offended anybody, but I said I did not. And so anyway, this other guy came up and rebuked me too. He said, we don't like this. We don't like this kind of going on in the church. But I didn't ever tell the people what went on, because I figured they wouldn't understand, and they probably wouldn't believe it if I was to tell them. But on this certain Sunday morning, God and the angels and the heavenly choir made themselves known in a song. And I'm going to tell you, heaven was full of joy, praise, and worship where we was not. And the song was kicked up. They was enjoying this song, and they wasn't ashamed to clap their hands. I mean, it sounded like thousands of angels in perfect harmony, and they were clapping their hands, and there was great worship and joy. And I didn't know what went on until the song ended, and I came back to myself, and I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm still here." You know, I'm in here, and this people don't know what went on this morning. So after I got rebuked and everything, I went back and sat down. And so after church dismissed, this other person came up and said, "Oh, what happened this morning? I've never heard you speed up and do what you did this morning." And he was the only one. He was a Sunday school teacher. And so I told him, I said, "Brother, you just don't know the half of it." I said, "Heaven came down and met us this morning." And I said, "You started the song off. That was great." But I said, "Heaven had it in a higher time than you did." I said, "It was twice as fast as what we were trying to do it." And I said, "God was blessing me." And I said, "I got to hear angels praising and worshiping God." And I explained it all to him. And he just shook his head no, just like, "I don't believe a thing you're saying." But I'm going to tell you, God's real. His angels, his ministering spirits are real. And that happened to me one time. And probably about 2 years after that, I had another encounter where I was playing music. And we were just doing our regular, you know, songs that we had laid out that we was going to do. But this time it changed again. We were singing. Everybody was singing, you know, the whole church was singing, and we was rejoicing and all that. But this time, it was just like I got snatched out of my body. And I'm standing behind me, watching me play drums. And I can look around, and I can see things going on. And you could see angels all around us. And all of this, you know, about... Again, I never did tell nobody that little episode either. But after the song went off, the angels was praising and worshiping God, and the song came to an end, and I quickly was transported right back into my body, and there I was. I was sitting on the drums, and the music was stopped. And but I just wanted to share that. God is so great, and I don't know what he's going to do during revival, but I know one thing. If God's in it, it's going to be super great. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Well, I pray that God would do that with us as well. I'd love to experience that with God. Just think of this, Charlie. You were playing with him. You were playing for him too. Praise God.
Ooh, amen. Mama. I was part of the choir, wasn't I?
That's right. That's right. You exactly right.
Thank you, brother. Hey. I'd just like to say, you know, I've sat in with a lot of musicians before, but that was my finest hour, brother, to play with God. I mean, they're just superior, you know. God bless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that vision. Now, I could see that happening too. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
I just share a dream I had once. This has been years ago, and it was kind of a funny dream. I mean, it's kind of a weird dream, but anyway, I'll share it. I was going down this highway on a motorcycle, and I knew it was the end time, and people were after me. And pretty soon, this highway kind of turned into like a half U thing, like you see, you know, in some of the Olympics, the ice things they do or something. It was a U-shaped thing, and those.
Uh-oh, we lost you, I think. We lost you, Marlon. Well, Lord, we thank you for reestablishing communications with Marlon and Gano. Thank you, Lord.
And there was a...
Marlon, you're breaking up big time. Matter of fact, I hadn't heard anything in about the last 30 seconds or so.
Careful. They'll hurt you. And this voice said, when you have me, no one can hurt you. And all of a sudden, the animals all turned around and they looked up on the bank, and Jesus was up.
Marlon, we can't hear you.
His eye, you know, people talk about Jesus' eyes, and his eyes were red, just like balls of red.
Lord, we thank you for establishing this communications. In the name of Jesus, we come against this block that's coming against Marlon, and we command it to open up and let everybody hear it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sorry. I guess he went out, coming back. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that was an awesome testimony, Charlie. That was really, really encouraging.
Amen. Y'all remember when Jesus bailed off in the temple? And he told those people in there, he'd run them out of there, the money changers. And he told them, he said, y'all don't even understand about my Father's house. You've changed it, and you've given your opinion about the temple. But the temple don't belong to y'all. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves. That's the first principle of religion. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. In other words, the atmosphere of our Father's house is supposed to be prayer. People need to open up their heart and come to the Father in worship, petition, and prayer. And to lay them before him, glorify God first, hallowed, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship God first, and then give your petition. Jesus told him, you've made it a place to make a buck. And isn't that true in our churches today? What has been shall be, and there ain't no new thing under the sun. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The thing that's supposed to distinguish, you know, a Christian church from the other types of religions is the aroma and atmosphere of prayer. It don't make any difference what your tradition is. What God wants is this house of prayer and supplication. What's the church? The church is you. It's me. It's each one of us. That's what he's talking about. That temple over there in Jerusalem, when it was built, was a building. Now he's got these mobile temples running around here, and that's what he wants out of each one of us. He wants us to be that house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Are you God's house? Yes, you are. You know? There's choirs, but it was called a house of prayer. There was the reading of the word. but my house shall be called a house of prayer. The Christian church was not born while somebody was preaching, but it was born with people praying. Remember the people that were 120 that was up in the room on Pentecost Day? That's when it was born. And it was born by them praying, seeking God for 10 days. They wasn't doing nothing but waiting on God and praying. They were praying and worshiping and waiting and having heart-to-heart communion with God. And here's God up there working in each one of them. He's cleaning them out. And he's putting faith into them. And he's doing those hard operations that only the Holy Spirit can do. He's running that Holy Ghost filter through each one of them. And that's how the church was born. And the Spirit was poured out. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Praise God. And that's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be that house of prayer. Intercede for the people. We've got people in this fellowship tonight that need our intercessory prayers. We've talked about, Gaynor talked about Tracy. We need to be lifting her up in mighty prayer. Marlene, we need to be lifting her up in mighty prayer. Jackie, all of us, we need to be lifted up in prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Y'all remember when Peter and John were arrested? And they slapped them around in the Sanhedrin there, and he told them, he said, don't y'all go out there and preach anymore in that name. What'd they do? They didn't go out there and protest. They didn't go up to the Supreme Court. They didn't try to get some kind of political leverage. They went out there to the prayer meeting. They went back in there and started praying, didn't they? He said, behold the threat. Oh, God, look how they're threatening us. But, oh, God, we lift our voices together to you. Oh, God, behold their threats and give your servants boldness that we may preach the name of Jesus in the name of Jesus. And that place where they prayed was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Praise God. Marlon, you back? Yep, I don't see him.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
We've been having trouble with our phone. It cuts out and we never know when we're talking, whether you hear us or not.
Yeah, well, you just got started and it just went haywire on you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We were done there. I mean, when it was done, there was nothing there. So didn't know how much of it when it cut out.
Well, you just got started real good.
Uh-huh.
You want to go ahead and relate that again? Do you mind?
Yeah. What did you hear last?
Anybody remember?
Well, I'll just start over.
Yeah, it was just started over again. That'd be fine.
Yeah, I was going down this highway on a motorcycle, and I knew it was end time. I don't know how, but I knew it was end time, and they were after me. And I was all of a sudden the highway kind of turned into like a U-shaped bowl, and I was going down there, and they was ready to get me, and I knew the only thing I could do is go up over the side and try and get away from them, and I went up over the side of that curve, and I flew way up in the air, and I looked down. This little bear was running out there, and he stretched out his arms and caught me. And he said, "That was me. I caught you." And then he kept going. I was on top of that little bear, and he kept going, and he went to a town like I knew it was a town like 15 miles north of us, and he went in kind of a yard, like, and it's not really, they're not mountains, but it's just banks around that yard. It was kind of a pen, like, and the banks were, there were no fence, but the banks were just that pen. And there was some big animals in there. There was elephants and all kinds of big animals. And this little bear would keep pushing his way in there and pushing against those big animals, and I told him, you better be careful, they're going to hurt you. And all of a sudden I heard this voice, when you have me, you can do anything, or you can do all things. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And at that time, the animals all turned around and looked at this one place, and it was Jesus standing over on the bank. And it was just an awesome presence of the Lord. Lasted for a while. That was some years back. And his eyes were just piercing, really piercing red, just red eyes. And I talked to David about that. I asked David what, you know, the red eyes would mean. And he thought, well, it probably meant that he's coming back as a judge. And so that was my experience. But it was just an awesome feeling of the Lord for a while.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? That's a good dream. I remember one time, this was, I don't know, probably around 99, 2000, somewhere along in there, that I had a vision. I was in bed, and the power of God came in there, and I couldn't move. And I had a vision of my mother. At the time, she was an invalid. She couldn't walk. Even though we had prayed for her numerous times, but she couldn't walk. But God showed me this vision, and in the vision, he showed me going into her room. And as I walked into the room, the Holy Spirit lifted her up out of the bed and stood her up on her feet. And as he was doing that, I didn't touch her or anything. I just said, in the name of Jesus, come out of there. In the vision, that's what I said. And I didn't have anything to do with it other than I spoke those words. And he had already, the Holy Spirit had already started her, pulling her up out of that bed and standing her up. That was the end of the vision. And the power of God was in my bedroom so strong, I had to just slide out of bed on my knees and start praying. And I prayed for, gosh, I don't know how long. And I got back up and got in the bed again. And I had a dream. And in this dream, I was walking up to my brother's house. And mother was in there. And she was in the wheelchair. And I just walked right up to her. And I grabbed her. And I said, come up out of there in the name of Jesus. And she stood right up and went to walking. End of dream. Mother never did. I prayed for her numerous times, had other people go in there with me to pray for her. I don't know why the Lord never healed her in that respect, in that way. I just don't know. I don't know. God has a reason, but I always thought that God would raise her up, you know, before she died, that she would be walking. But on the days that she died, the morning, the very early morning that she died, my brother called me and said, you better get up here if you want to see Mama. And so I got up and went up to Little Rock. She was in a hospital up there in Little Rock, in a nursing home, I'm sorry. And she had already died. And my brother, he was all broke up, but I already knew that mother was okay with the Lord because I had made sure of that a couple of years earlier and made sure that she had forgiveness for everybody and all of that kind of stuff. And so I knew she was in heaven, but you know what happened? The Lord, in his grace and his mercy, while I was standing in there, my brothers and my sister were in there with me. But during that time, he gave me a vision of mother running through the hills of heaven And what she had on was surprising. It was like she was about 30 years old, but she was having such a wonderful time up there running. And she had on this dress, like a 50 style dress. I don't know how to describe it other than that, like she used to wear back in the 50s and 60s, early 60s. And it's those dresses that go below your knees, just below your knees, you know, and kind of a just a light dress. And but what was significant about it, the Lord was showing me that she was fine. She was with him. I saw the Lord. And she was healed, you know. So that's my experience with it. But the night that I had that first vision of her, the power of God was really, really powerful. In that bedroom, so powerful I couldn't hardly move. But anyway, that's my experience. Anybody else? Lord, send revival right now. Praise God. Lord, let your Holy Spirit run through us like a hurricane and fire us up for you, Lord. We all need it. We need that encouragement, Lord. Let the fires of heaven just flow through us, Lord. And let us be on fire for you, Lord. Let the fire of God come in and burn up all the dross and cleanse us of all of this stuff, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Somebody share something. Y'all making me think y'all are dead religion out there, and I don't do that. Come on now.
Brother Ayer?
Yeah, Charlie?
I'll share this with you.
Okay, good.
I went to church one time. I'd probably been saved about 8-10 years, and I believed in healing and all of that, you know, and But I was invited to go to this little church. They had an evangelist or somebody there, and so I went. And so while we were there, well, we had a pretty good meeting and everything. And but I thought it was peculiar at the time. But anyway, he wanted to pray for the sick. Well, I wasn't sick. So he prayed for the sick, and when he got done, why, he turned like he was going to go get behind the pulpit, and then he came back out to the front. And he said, anybody would like for me to pray for you for anointing to come up on you? And I thought, well, I ain't never heard of this, but whatever. So I went up there. Me and about 8 more people went up there. And the preacher, he just simply just touched us on the head, you know, and said, Lord, anoint these brothers and sisters and let them take it home with them. And so I didn't think no more about it. And so after church was over with and everything, everybody was shaking hands, and so, you know, we left. And when I got home, well, I didn't know my mom was sick, but she was in the bed, and my dad said, I don't think there's going to be any dinner today. He said, because your mama, she's been in the bed for the last hour or more, and she's really sick and got a real hot fever. And I said, you got to be kidding, because when I left, she was up and booing around, you know. So I changed my clothes and everything, and I went to the restroom just for a minute. And while I was in there, and I get no credit, so please don't take me wrong. I don't want the credit or nothing. God gets the credit. I went to the restroom and I was looking in the mirror, combing my hair, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, go to your mother's room and use the anointing that I gave you. And I just stood there for a second, and I said, well, Lord, is this you? And He repeated it. So He told me to go in there and just lay my hand on her brow. And so that's what I did. I went in there, and I didn't say nothing to Mama. I didn't tell her what I was going to do or nothing. I just walked over at the bedside, and I just laid my hand on her brow. And I took my hand off and went back into the other room. And within about 1 minute, she came out of the bed, all smiles, and she was weeping. And she said, I sure appreciate that. She said, when you laid your hand on me, she said, the fever broke and my sickness just went away. I said, really, Mommy? And she said, yeah. And she said, just give me a few minutes. She said, I'll try to get us some dinner going. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, wow, ain't that amazing? I mean, God can give you anointing and you can take it to your loved ones or to your neighbors or whoever is in need of it. Because I didn't really give a lot of thought to it until he spoke to me at the house to do that for my mom. And I just want to praise him tonight. And you know what he'll do for the least of us? He'll do for all of us. And I just want to thank him for it, brother.
Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I remember when I got healed from rotating cuff in my right shoulder. After that, I knew that when I prayed for people, they was going to get healed. And that's why it kind of mystified me about my mother and why she wasn't healed. I don't know if it was my faith or her faith. I had bold faith back then, still do. And saw a lot of people get healed from God, you know. But I still don't understand that, but I'll know one day. Praise the Lord. Charlie and Linda, they have led a spiritual life. They've got real lots of stories to tell. That was awesome. That's awesome. When you can go and help somebody, give them the prayer of faith, give them the healing power of God upon them. It's not anything that we can do other than utilize our faith with them. And God honors that, and he heals them. You know, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. All right, anyone else?
Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I just wanted to share an experience I had in Singapore. I'd come down from Nepal to go to school in Singapore in my seventh grade. And staying with my aunt and uncle, but they didn't have room for me at the time I got there, because they just moved there from Taiwan. So, so they were able to make arrangements so I could stay in this house and next to their place. It was a really nice old colonial kind of established old bungalows. I don't know if some of you remember some of the colonial type. What the British had built in different places, but anyway, it was really nice homes. And but anyway, so I was staying next door. It was a nice house there, and all the houses there, because of all the insects and critters and whatnot, they're on pillars about or posts, probably 5 feet high. But the ants still somehow find those posts and get into the houses and eat your food. Or whatever they want to get to, but so that we have ant trails all over these flight walls. But this house I was staying in just temporarily, also there is a rather elderly gentleman who was also staying there temporarily, and I was new to everybody, and going through a lot of, you know, for a little kid to be in a totally different country and everything was really something, but. So I didn't know this gentleman at all, but I'd wake up in the morning and come out in the living room, and every morning I'd come out there, and here he is on the couch with a little lamp on, and he was reading his Bible. He was always reading his Bible every morning. And and then he'd talk to me about the Lord and just a very wonderful fatherly type person. Well, he was doing some evangelistic meetings or something in a nearby college church. And so my aunt, uncle, and I would go to the church over there and listen. And anyway, he'd get going. He'd start talking about Revelation, and he'd start reading some texts from Revelation and talking about the holy city and heaven and all these things. And he'd invariably start talking about how wonderful heaven was, and then I think, I don't know, this longing inside of him was so deep that he'd just start weeping. He'd talk about Jesus and seeing Jesus and heaven and all these things, and he'd just start crying up at the pulpit there. And he got criticized for maybe not having the best, I don't know, he just got criticized for you know, crying up front a lot. But, I was really, it had a huge impact on me at the time, for years to come. And he died a little bit after that. But anyway, I just, I don't know, it's just like the Lord was just, he was all consumed with the Lord and with being with him, and pretty, it was just a neat experience. It's simple, and I know most of us have all had that kind of experience. So, anyway, it's neat, and you know how in some mediums you can just hear a pin drop. The presence of the Lord is so strong, and conviction, and, you know, people quietly crying, weeping about their things that need to be dealt with and whatnot. So that's it.
Amen. Yeah, those are good times. When I first got saved, I was saved in the Baptist church, baptized in the Baptist church. And wasn't too long after that, probably 6 months or so, I had a vision about that church. I believe I remember it as a vision. It could have been a dream, but I think it was a vision. What I saw, and it was a big Baptist church, probably had 1,500 members. But any given Sunday, there was probably 700 or 800 people there. But what I saw in the vision or the dream were the people were lined up on the outside of the wall, inside the outside wall, around the sanctuary. And then the Holy Spirit came in and just laid everybody out. And that was it. And the Holy Spirit had told me that I was going to be leaving that church. And, you know, when you get on fire for God, when you first get saved, Baptists will put you to teaching. That's what they did for me. I was teaching their kids, you know, and I didn't know much about it, but they had this little booklet that I could go by, you know. And I had hooked up with this other guy after I got healed and was going out on the streets, and we were seeing healings and miracles, deliverances, and just all kinds of good stuff from the Lord. So after I had this vision, and I knew that God was going to move me, I went to the pastor. He was a good guy. He was a young guy. And I told him, I had been keeping him informed about what was going on with the streets, you know, in the streets, and telling him about these miracles that were happening, you know, that we were praying for folks and they were getting healed. And so I went in there and I talked to him one day, and his name was Mitch. And I said, Mitch, you know, I had a dream or a vision about this church. And I told him about that, you know, and told him, I said, is this anywhere that you're going to be taking this church? And he said, Michael, he said, I believe every word you say is the truth. He said, but that's just not my ministry. And I was just awestruck. I said, really? He said, no. I said, okay. I didn't question him. I didn't try to argue with him or anything like that. I just told him that, you know, that I'd be leaving, and I'd stay as long as until he could find somebody to take my place, you know. He said, well, probably be best that you just go on, you know. I said, okay. But you know what happened? About 2 years later, maybe three, I don't remember, his daughter went to school over in another city, and she married this full gospel guy. Y'all know what's going to happen. And the pastor got to go into their church on the sly and still preaching in that Baptist church. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit one night in that church, and he tried to bring it back to that Baptist church. And they didn't want it. And they fired him. Now, this was a $90,000, $100,000 a year job, you know, for a Baptist preacher. And he moved to Little Rock and started working the streets down there. He went into insurance or something else like that, but he started doing what God wanted him to do, and that was taking care of the homeless and that kind of thing. But I thought it was quite ironic that it wasn't his ministry. Back a couple of 2-3 years earlier, but then when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. So you don't ever really know, you know, how God's going to work things out in people. And so you just pray for him. And that's what I did. I prayed for him. I prayed that the Lord would fill him up with the Holy Spirit and that kind of thing. Didn't do it very often, but I did do it. And that's exactly what happened. And I thought it was awesome. And I think that's probably what that vision meant, was that God was fixing to come down and play a part in that church's life, and that's what happened. But anyway, that's another little experience that I had. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I have a question, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Somebody that I was relating to me, that he was at the Toronto Revival. And I have a question about it, because I've heard of this happening elsewhere. But there was a room with a lot of people in it, and whatever happened in that room, everybody ended up on the floor, unable to move, almost completely paralyzed. And the person that told me about this said he was able to slowly, very slowly crawl down the aisle back toward the back. And when he finally got back there, I think he wanted to go do something. There was something important that he felt like he needed to do. And here was a man standing at the back, and he looked up at him, and he said, how come you're standing and the rest of us are all, you know, almost incapacitated? And he said, because the Lord set me here as a watchman. I wonder if you have any thoughts about that. Or
well, I don't know. What was he talking about that he sent him as a watchman to see what was going on?
Well, that's all I remember. Other than it was like just to, because I think there was some fault stuff going on.
Well, the Toronto Airport Revival was the Kundalini stuff. That was the false revival. And that may have been what he was talking about. He was just there. He might have prayed himself protection before he went in there, you know, and that's probably the reason why that the spirit couldn't get a hold of him.
Yeah, some of the stuff I'm not exactly sure which spirit was, you know, and I don't know how the Lord works all this, because sometimes it's like some of it is good or some of it's part good, or, you know.
Yeah, well, the best thing to do is the Lord, I don't know if this is you or not, but if it's you, fine, but if it's not, protect me. That's what I would do. I don't want to, if it's of you, I want it. But if it's not of you, Lord, I don't want no part of it. And if you'll do that, he'll protect you. Best thing to do, you know, the Lord's power is great. And when he shows up in power, the flesh does not like it. And I'm not saying that this happens all the time. It can happen quite often, you know. But most of the time, the Lord just wants repentance, and he wants people to cry out to him. And, you know, I remember reading about Mariah Woodworth Eder. She went into trances. She might go into a trance for hours and hours and hours, maybe even a day or so. She would go into a trance, But it was always, she always come out of it and she had a message from God. She'd always go up there and get a message from God. So, you know, I don't know. Best thing to do is just pray before you go somewhere like that. But I know the Toronto airport, the Kansas City bunch, and the Brownsville, Pensacola Brownsville revival, all that was Kundalini stuff. That was false revival. There was some bad spirits in those places. In those revivals there, a lot of the main leaders, and some of them died. Most of them got divorces. I know down there in Pensacola, you've probably heard David talk about that some. They left those people in a bad shape down there, financial wise. They took all the money and took off. So anyway, let's go ahead and pray. Close it out here. Unless somebody's got something they'd like to pray about before we leave. But Lord, I'm just praying for revival. I'm crying out to you for revival, Lord, and revival in all of us. Father, encourage us with the filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Place in us that spirit of prayer, Lord, in each one of us, Father. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that we could ask and pray in your name and that you would grant it to us, Lord. And I believe it. And I thank you for it, Father, that you would put the spirit of prayer in each one of us, the spirit of intercessory prayer. And I thank you, Lord, that Tracy is blessed tonight. She's going to have a blessed day tomorrow. And I thank you, Lord, that Marlene's going to have a blessed day tomorrow. And everybody else is going to have a blessed night and a blessed day. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you bless Matthew and Anna and Blake on this decision that they've made, Lord, and this movement that they're going to make. And Father, I ask that you bless them. Bless them, Lord, in every way, in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our life. And I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people that I get to meet and talk with every week, twice a week. Lord, and sometimes they call me and we talk then too, Lord. And that is awesome. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless everybody, Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.